Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to KKIM, the oldest Christian radio station in New Mexico. And we are continuing on. This is the third teachings we've done so far on Ivan Panins. One thing I wanted to bring out again and state emphatically that any one of the fine Bibles written, beginning with the King James Version, which is pretty much the basis of all of our studies, we use the King James, and then my wife likes the New King James because it makes it more understandable to our day and age. It changes thou to you and things like that, but it's basically the same. I tend to prefer the New American Standard. I believe it is closer to the Greek and the Hebrew. But then there are two finer Bibles. One is the New Testament, written by Ivan Panin. Also, there is the Rotherham's Bible. Very, very excellent Bibles. And you can tell if you read in the front and the introduction by both of the men that did the work, you can tell that they're very respectful of the original language and try to convey it as best they can into the English so we can understand it. But anyway, we have the Word of God for all practical purposes, King James and so on. We have it for all practical purposes, sufficient for your salvation and mine, and able to bring life and healing and the joy of God, the kingdom of God, back into our lives. But the thing is about knowing about the Panins, it's able to actually enrich that. It is actually able to cause growth with us in our knowledge and understanding of God and His ways. And it gives us a great appreciation for the exactness and the beauty of God. And it also teaches us to respect the fact that the Bible is not humanly written. It is impossible for the Bible to be written by man. It is indeed penned by God. And what is interesting is you have people from all different walks of life and so on, different businesses. Some are fishermen, which are today considered, and probably at that time were considered more or less not college graduates. Now, some are today because of all the technology and stuff in the ships and so on. But these were fishermen, and they weren't considered at that time. In the Bible, it says that they called them unlearned men, and Peter and his brother and cousins and so on. There were four apostles that were fishermen. But you take fishermen and people from all different walks of life and different nationalities. One person that wrote the Bible was Roman, and one was Jew, and so on. And yet this numbering system, the mathematics in the Bible, remains exactly the same. And they were all allowed to write in their own particular style. Yet if you put numbers in place of every letter in the Bible, the pattern is exactly the same, and which is just amazing. But I'm going to go back to this one fact that even if you maybe don't appreciate the beauty of the weavings, the interweavings inside the Bible, the wondrous things, you get out a telescope, and that's basically what we're doing. But let's say we don't get out a telescope. Let's just look at the word in and of itself. And so that is great because it says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature or creation hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That was in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. And again, I'm going to read another place. It says in 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." And then, thirdly, Proverbs 25:11, "Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances." So now we can go into this art gallery called the Bible and behold the wonders of all God's words and how he puts things together and so on. So the word is powerful. Even if you don't understand it, even if you don't read the Greek or the Hebrew, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and you can stop there, and I would not fault you in the least, my friend. But let me tell you some things about the Bible if you are patient. And well, let's look at this beautiful, the gold words of God fitly framed in silver. Also, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, refined seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will preserve him from this generation forever." Now, the thing is that Ivan Panin was able to do, because there were some controversy, there was definitely been some controversies as to which Greek and Hebrew text are the most accurate and so on. We have the Westcott and Hort, and we have the Textus Receptus, and we have the Vatican text, and then there is another one from Israel. And they looked at them, and there were a few controversies between them. And I think Westcott and Hort listed some 3,000 that they weren't sure of. And so Ivan Panin's went back to all 3,000 of those discrepancies that Westcott and Hort, now they might double bracket theirs if there's some kind of question about it being there or not being there. So Panin went back and looked at all 3,000, and lo and behold, he could prove which ones belonged and which ones didn't mathematically. He obviously proved that the Greek Septuagint, which was not written under God's authority, was actually commissioned by Alexander the Great to make the Bible available to every Greek-speaking person. So every Greek-speaking person at that time, and that was the Hellenic-Greek of the Bible, and they wrote the Septuagint, and it was not commissioned by God himself, and that does not pass the test. But the New Testament Greek and the Old Testament Hebrew, as given by God, it passes Panin's test of numerics, that you can see the beautiful pattern in Hebrews 1. You see it exactly the same in Matthew 1. And it does not know divisions of languages. Isn't that just absolutely amazing? Now, we have explained before what this is. Every Greek letter has a numeric value. That's simply all it is. You count them up. You take a word like Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Now, all the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, refined seven times. Well, there are, even though there are 10 in your Bible, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," in the Hebrew, there are only 7. The word "created," if you take all the letters for the word "created," they add up to and are divisible by 7. The nouns that are in there, God, heaven, and earth, if you add up all their numbers, they are divisible by 7. And on and on and on, and you go into Matthew chapter 1 with the genealogy, and you'll find exactly the same thing. Well, Panin's found out there's not only numerical designs in the Bible, and by the way, according to numeric design, he unquestionably proved that the Apostle Paul was the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Now, some of you are going to go, "I knew that. I always felt like that." But this man of God told me one time, it also sounds like it could have been James, and it could have been. But isn't this interesting? The mathematics proves that it was the Apostle Paul and my wife. So I tested her on that one tonight, and I said, who'd you all always think the writer of the book of Hebrews was? And she goes, the Apostle Paul. And I said, well, it sounds like the Holy Spirit jibes with what this imprint that God left of the Bible. Now, before I read the rest of this, I'm going to take a side note here. Ivan Panins, when he was questioned by a friend of his who was a devout atheist, Ivan took a dollar bill out of his pocket, one of the American bills, and it had this peculiarity that printed on paper that cannot be easily reproduced, because running through them on the back, red silk threads, which are hard to put in their proper places for forging. I said to my friend, this is Ivan Panins, said to his friend, his name, Herbert Spencer, will you kindly tell me what Uncle Sam does that for? Well, of course, that's to keep the bill from being counterfeited. Well, Panins said to Herbert, don't you think it would be equally wise of God to make his book that it shall show his handiwork in such a way that it too cannot be counterfeited? He could not answer me, but he was so pleased with my illustration that he used it himself afterwards. He actually changed his mind and became a God-fearing man of God. It became the task of his life afterwards to prove that there is a God. But his life did run into problems later on, but it did change his mind. Now, in closing of this one particular article about it, he was saying, like God puts threads in the back of bills, money, and so on, that are a treasure to mankind. He called the Bible a treasure, but we have known it in the rough. Most of us just know the Bible in the rough. We don't know the intricacies yet. We don't know all of it. God's wisdom, it says, his knowledge is without end. It's endless. We have the Word of God for all practical purposes, and it can lead a man to salvation, yet, and we brought that up, it is sufficient to bring men to salvation and to heal their lives and their souls. But it is such a masterpiece that we need to, as we grow older in the Lord, I think with age, we will want to look at how great a treasure we truly have. We see the seal of the great God all throughout the Bible, who has done all these wonderful things, like the threads in that dollar bill. Now, there are two systems that God has put in his Bible. One is the number value of each word and letter and so on. And there's also place values. There's two things. There are actually, now can you imagine solving a puzzle that is multidimensional? Not only does one pattern show, but if you look at it closely enough, there's a whole other pattern. And so there's a numeric value, but there's also a place value. The numeric scheme and the numeric values of each letter, they are separate designs. Every letter and word is so intricately intertwined and interlocked by these different system of designs that it is simply impossible to move a letter or a word either to the right or to the left without destroying the perfect pattern. The very order of every letter and word is definitely designed. Each letter and word has its own special place even. Such perfect order, such complex systems of design, with their astonishing precisions and accuracy. This is a statement I have made before. The Greek and the Hebrew is far beyond the English. It is precise. It is accurate. If you find one word that has exactly the same part of speech and you find it in different places, it can only mean exactly the same thing in each place. It still has to mean exactly one thing. Now, the one thing we found out about the Greek and the Hebrew, though, is they are so rich, we have an extremely difficult time conveying it into the English. It is very rich and full. Behold, God wants us to know his depth, his length, his breadth, and his height, and to know the love of God, which surpasses our understanding. Now, this is a fact. Alpha equals 1, beta equals 2, gamma 3, delta 4, epsilon 5, zeta 7, eta 8, theta 9, and so on, iota 10, and then it goes by 10 place till it gets to rho, and it goes by 100 places to omega 800. Now, the Hebrew does the same thing. It goes by one place to 10, and then because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, it goes to 400, where the 24 letters in the Greek alphabet go to 800. Now, the S's, there's one S when you read the Greek. It's different in the middle of the sentence, and the S looks like RS at the end of the sentence, sigma and tau. And they're basically the same, and they both have exactly the same numeric value. Oh, I'll tell you something funny. English doesn't have a numeric value, but let's just play around with it anyway. If you use the 6-base system and you give A6, B12, C18, and so on, you spell out computer, just write yourself a list of A being 6, B being 12, C being 18. Just make a list. Spell out computer, it'll equal 666. Spell out Kissinger, Henry Kissinger, but just the last name, Kissinger, it'll equal 666. You want some more? In the Roman numerals, vicarius filii dei. Just take those Roman numerals, V equals 5, I equals 1, C equals 100. Spell out vicarius filii dei, the title of the Pope. It equals 666. There you go. Anyway, I'm not saying anything. It's just a interesting, but a word to the wise is sufficient, I guess. But here we go. Now, Jesus is 888. He is usually divisible by 8. The Antichrist in Revelation 13, 18 is 666, of course. So even, numbering is all throughout the Bible. The book of Numbers, God numbered his people. There are seven seals. There are, on and on. There are seven vials in Revelation. There are seven trumpets. They marched around Jericho seven times, on and on. Okay. Now, there are 66 books in the Bible. Did you know there are 66 books in the book of Isaiah? And if you look at them in their right place, now, the order of the Bible is different in King James than it is in Penance. But if you look at it in its right numeric place, where it spoke about of Isaiah, the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, is exactly where Matthew is, and it's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And on, there's such an intertwining of scriptures that it is impossible for a man to have done this. So, anyway, the 66 books of the Bible have numeric value. Thus, the peculiar characteristics of both Hebrew and Greek languages is that the letters, words, sentences, paragraphs, passages, etc. have numeric values. Now, there is one number in particular to which the reader's attention has been called, and that's the number 7. For the first book of the Bible to the last, it is an outstanding number because on the seventh day, God rested. In Egypt, there were 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and so on. I listed a bunch of the other ones. 7 years building the temple. Naaman was told to go wash. He was the Syrian general who later on became the king in Syria, and he was told to wash 7 times in the River Jordan. And there are 7 churches, and so on. So beneath the surface of the Hebrew and Greek, there is this number pattern, just like the threads on a true dollar, that show you that it is the authentic Word of God. Now, those threads are not found in the Apocrypha, which is the 5 books added in the Catholic Bible, and it is not found in the Greek Septuagint. These numeric facts prove that the Bible is supernatural. It is indeed God-breathed. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about Panins. He was born in the same country my mother was born in Russia. And he was a nihilist. He used to lecture on atheism until he was converted and became a Christian in 1882. And one day while, he was actually advised by his friend Tolstoy to read the Bible in its original languages, you'd get much more from it. So when he was at Harvard, he took Greek, and being a mathematical genius and a multilingual scholar, and he was very well known in his day, and he knew a lot of people that were very highly respected in literature. And anyway, he was studying the scriptures, and he knew that the Greek and the Hebrew had number values, that if a Greek is going to say one, he could just say alpha, or the Hebrew aleph, and it's a one, and so on. And playing around with it, and he saw this beautiful pattern emerge. Now, I went through the thing on Genesis. Let me go through just a few things. So there are seven Hebrew words in Genesis 1. The seven words have exactly 28 letters, which is 4 by 7. There are three nouns, God, heaven, and earth. Taking these letters, substituting their numbers, it equals 777, which is 111 times 7. There is one Hebrew verb created. Its total number is 203, which is 29 sevens. The first three words contain the subject with exactly 14, that's two letters, 2 by 7. Likewise, the other four are the object with exactly 14 letters, 2 by 7. The Hebrew words for the two objects, heaven and earth, each have 7 letters. The value of the first, middle, and last letters in the sentence is 133, which is 19 by 7. And he just went on. And to a mathematician, he found out that this chance of this happening is one chance in 33 trillion. And that's just one place. Well, he went to the New Testament. The vocabulary has 49 words, 7 by 7. 28 words begin with a vowel, 4 by 7. The remaining 20 with a consonant, 3 by 7. 7 end with a vowel. 42 with a consonant, that's 6 by 7. The 49 words have 266 letters, 38 by 7. I'm done. That's enough. So he was finding these same patterns. Now, that's just the number. It's not the placement yet. Anyway, Mark was a Roman. Luke is a Greek. Matthew a Jew. Each wrote in their own style, and yet the exact, and one, some were fishermen, one was a tax collector, and so on. And yet every single one of the passages has this numeric pattern running through it. Okay. Now, next time we get together, I'm going to go through the design of paragraphing, which gives us context and where you want to keep a complete thought. Anyway, until we meet again, and we'll continue on this subject of Ivan Panins and his translation of the Bible, may God lead you into all truth, and may the truth of God set you free.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque, 87193. Or call us toll-free at 866-754-6527. That's 866-754-6527. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."